Hi, everybody, and a warm welcome to a brand new episode of The Joy of Logistics. I'm so glad that you're tuning in again. Just in case you're watching the show the first time and you're asking yourself, okay, who is this Christoph guy talking about logistics? Let me briefly introduce myself. So my name is Christoph, and I've been I studied logistics and economics, and I've been working in the global logistics industry ever since, which is now roughly a decade. In fact, in summer, it exactly will be one decade. Reason I created not only Planet Logistics, as you can see behind, which is my hashtag on LinkedIn, on which I post frequently about all sorts of logistics related developments. I also thought, okay, hey, it's time to come up with a great podcast. And you might ask why. Well, the question is pretty valid, pretty good actually. The reason is I come across a lot of lack of knowledge when I'm talking with either clients or other people that somehow are related with the industry, and I wanted to, you know, provide a stage for outstanding and pioneering companies and also individuals talking and presenting cases and out-of-the-box solutions with the intent to make logistics better and to make the world of logistics itself a little bit smarter, better, more efficient, however you want to put it. Everything is right. And that's exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's also, and I've been receiving great feedback from you guys. Thank you so much, by the way. So it shows me that it really provides some sort of value to you. And, you know, that's basically the goal of this whole podcast series. You know, if you've been following the Joy of Logistics now for quite some time, you notice that we cover a lot, right? Whether it's some operational stuff in air and ocean freight, whether it's some developments in order to increase efficiency, just talking about the collapsible containers the other days, whether it's also something about sustainability, like we did in the podcast with Loon, or about data integration, we cover it all, you know it. And that's exactly why you're tuning in. And also that I highly appreciate it. And today I have a fantastic guest with me, and because reason is I saw a very fascinating video, which basically brought me the idea for the next podcast. So we've been talking a lot about boosting efficiencies across, you know, terminals and shipping lines and collapsing containers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this time, we are going to set the stage right in your warehouse or right at your yard. There are some fantastic, really fantastic opportunities out there, and I hope you guys have your pen and paper ready. And it's also a first today, because today my guest is the first from South America, which I'm very happy to have him on here. The companies he's working with has like 350 years of experience when it comes down to logistics handling. And, you know, unfortunately, both him and I won't account for 350 years of experience. However, I'm still sure that there is a lot for you to gain, a lot for you to note down, and a lot for you to learn, and make sure you also share those informations with colleagues, friends, coworkers, whoever might be interested in that. With that being said, also quick hello to the audience. John, good afternoon from Virginia. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining. Appreciate it. Also, Benita is here. Hi, Benita. Thank you. And without further ado, I'm happy to bring him right on there, and let's cut right to it. Please welcome Raphael Kessler from CombiLift. Raphael, good morning. Thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, well, good afternoon to all. It's already past lunchtime in Brazil. It's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to contribute to the growth of logistics. Thank you for the invitation, Christoph.
Fantastic. Absolutely. My pleasure. And thank you so much, Raphael, for taking your time out of your day and for sharing some of your wisdom and knowledge with the audience and the logistics folks. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
With that being said, would you give the audience a little introduction about yourself and also about CombiLift?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. With you from Porto Alegre in south of Brazil, very close to Argentina, very close to Uruguay, the south cone of Brazil, as we say. I've been working with logistics now for about 15 years. I'm an engineer, graduated in Brazil, and I think that my previous experience was with quality on the auto industry. And I think those two tie together, logistics and quality. And as we were saying previously, there is a transformation in logistics nowadays that everything is changing. Everything is changing very fast. Logistics was always very important, but now we had to learn over the past 3-4 years to be efficient, fast, and agile. In what probably was words in the past, now it has to be, because things are changing faster than we ever experienced before. Having had experience with quality before and processes probably is helping on the intralogistics field. That's probably where I concentrate most, is not on the truck haulage, the ships, oceans, but what goes inside the warehouse, what goes inside your factory, what goes inside even small businesses is... I think that's a lot of contribution we can have, and also sharing experiences, because the best practices that are happening all over the world, they have to be shared with other people and see how together we can make even better things. So that's the idea of where I concentrate my work. Company I work for is called CombiLift. CombiLift is a company that was founded in Ireland 25 years ago. If we think Ireland as a traditional player to logistics, probably not. It's quite a small country. But the idea of the founders of CombiLift from the very beginning was to innovate, is to make something different, is to be open to the market and to customer needs. And what is missing? That was probably the question that would always come, is what would you like to make better, or how can we help your company, your business, your market, your sector to do something better? And that's what CombiLift has been doing for the last 25 years, designing solutions in the form of material handling equipment to solve problems. And probably that's the video you saw. The first thing is, wow, that's something different. It's innovative.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, that's the idea, is to listen to people and see how can we do make things easier. And we have three words that we always say is number one is safety. How can we make it safer, to make it simpler to handle, and then make people safe, your environment safe. How can we make it be more productive, do more with less, or do more with the same? And the other one is, how can we save space? Space is, as the world grows, it's harder and harder to find space. Mm-hmm. And then we try to find ways to make you find space, or you didn't know that you have had that space. Well, that's the idea behind CombiLift.
I like that. I like that, especially those three, yeah, let's call them like guidelines or mottos, if you want it like that. That's really fantastic. It's outstanding, and this is exactly what we as a big global logistics community require. And each and everybody, of course, with their own requirements and with their own little specialties and niches, whatever they're working in. But I think that's even better having somebody like you and CombiLift to be able to and willing to tackle that and to solve exactly that. And you already made a first or alluded to with in terms of you're focusing on material handling solutions, right? What would you are there some sorts of how can I put this like solutions like a forklift, or how can people first listening to you and maybe have never heard about CombiLift, what types of handling vehicles, so to speak, or solutions are you offering?
Okay, well, I would say that the first thing is we don't like to say that we have a product catalog. The first approach that we share with the customer, it's pretty much like when you go into a doctor's appointment. Why do you visit the doctor? Something is annoying you. Sometimes you don't even know when you see a doctor. Something's annoying, but I don't know what's annoying me. Or you go for you want to improve your quality of life, or you want to go prepare for a sport. So go see a doctor and say, "Well, I want to be better." That's the idea. And so when we start talking to customers, when we visit the customer site, when we ask, how they handle business, what type of load are you carrying? What type of space do you have available? How many people do you have available to make that storage or to move material around? And then we come up with maybe some solutions that we already have designed and we have in production. And sometimes we do a combination of what we have to create a new product, a new solution, a new equipment. Okay, so we can go from easy things like what's called walkies. Every place has probably a nickname for that, but it's a forklift or an equipment that you walk with that equipment to be. It's like a tool for you. So that is for small loads, for small warehouses, small areas. And these equipments are designed for save space to move loads higher, heavier loads. But that is actually it's a, each customer, each location might have a different solution. We even come up with a design of one of those machines that goes sideways. So people might have a pipe that is 10 meter long, and then we have a solution that you walk alongside, and then it's not in the past probably would be two people one side hanging though that pipe to other people on the other side, then people would walk at a distance. Now we have a solution that's a machine that does that. Then we also have forklifts, but forklifts that go sideways, that they go into very narrow aisles, can go outside, inside. So solutions at the same time, they save space and they can go in and outside. And for small companies, that might be a big difference because instead of needing two different types of equipment, one equipment does everything. And then we have forklifts that go sideways, that turn around in a circle. So whatever, it's very hard to even to mention here, what we have because it's not really our equipment is not the focus. The focus is what people are moving, are storing. Then we find a solution. Or we even have designed equipment to handle, you know, the wind blades now are going to the 110, 120 meter long. Mm-hmm. So we have a solution to handle the wind industry challenges, you know, that are coming, they're becoming bigger, longer, you know, heavier. Mm-hmm. And then we design solutions for that. So it's really, we don't sell equipment. We design solutions for what people has to move around. You know, it's, I used to say that once it's pretty much like the tech industry, you know, once you publish, they're no longer even paper brochures, but once you print your catalog, it's so old already. So it's a moving type of solutions that is what we offer.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I like the fact that you're selling designs, as you already alluded to, and that you constantly keep evolving. And I think that's also what is key, given the current environment. You know, you already mentioned that earlier, and we were also speaking about that beforehand. Everything is changing so fast these days. The requirements are changing so fast, and at the same time, some things just remain the same. You know, as you mentioned, like those narrow aisles in a warehouse, especially for smaller companies, you know, they just cannot just simply go out there and build their factory or their warehouse four times bigger. I mean, I know that there are places like that, especially in the US, where you have plenty of space. But for instance, in some places in Germany, you just cannot. You got to stick with what you have. And I think then it's even better to have someone like you or like Combilift as a company that is able to understand these challenges and to actually design a solution that works in there. And while it's not only working in there, it's also creating huge efficiencies. I mean, you just alluded to like those big pipes where you formerly had had two, three, four people at once just handling or carrying one tube. Now you can do it basically with that one single machinery, right? So reason I'm pointing this out is that there is so much efficiency hidden in there that is there, and that, in my opinion, has to be realized, you know, not only in theory, in words, as you mentioned earlier, but actually in the physical process. I just mm-hmm. put it like this.
Yeah, well, number one, probably, it's not only availability, but mm-hmm. we are talking, you know, ESG, we are talking sustainability, we are saying save the environment. It's every day, you know, it's green, go green. Every day, everyone is saying this. But what are you actually doing, you know, to change the world? So mm-hmm. that's one of the things, is you have to be more efficient. You have to be more... honest, you know, it's what are you actually doing to improve your business so your footprint is getting smaller and smaller? And one of the ways is, well, do better, you know, handle materials better. It's not consuming less, but it's using less space is use a more efficient equipment. So with that in mind, you know, it's not, oh, I don't have space available. It's, do I really need to use more space? You know, that's one of the models that says, well, when you improve, you're being better to the environment. So that's one important thing. But coming back to information sharing, you know, where it all started, I think that there are so many people around the world that make better things, mm-hmm. that are doing you know, better designs. That's when we are a company that's focused on projects, on design, on improving, we are probably one of the channels that people can use and, you know, bring their ideas. We share our ideas back and share to everyone. Mm-hmm. It's not only us, it's all manufacturers. You know, it's an open source of ideas to make things better, you know. But the more designs we make, probably we are making more impact, because then people come to us and say, oh yeah, this project, yeah, you had a good idea, I'll make it somewhere else. But you know, it's all the time. It's not only looking at the improving the outside of the warehouse, but also what can you do inside your warehouse, your business. Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like the spirit and I like the idea, and I totally agree on that, especially sharing the best practices, because I'm a firm believer that there will be companies out there in different parts of the world, doesn't matter where they are, you know, but that they are facing similar challenges. And why shouldn't they benefit from solutions that, for instance, you came up with, you know? And if they see it and they're like, okay, exactly, that's exactly what I was looking for. Because, for instance, I am a producer of those very, very long or very large wind turbine wings, and I need exactly that. So why would I then try to build the production or whatever all around the shipping or the handling process, whereas instead they could use the status quo and just add a smarter, more efficient, and more suitable machine than they were probably using prior to that, right?
Yeah, correct. Yes, yeah. Yeah, and usually people, when we speak about innovation, is you can either do a 2 or 3% improvement, mm-hmm. but sometimes you can make a 30% or 50% improvement, mm-hmm. but that's probably more risky.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and, you know, and then it's you know, people. It's easy to say innovation, mm-hmm. but it's not easy to, let's take a risk. And, you know, then it becomes, then you have to find sources that are used to take risks or that are used to solve risky problems. Mm-hmm. Because if not, you're probably just going to the comfort side of, we'll make 2% improvement at a time, when there is a 30, 50% improvement that might be just around the corner, you know, mm-hmm. just have to measure. And, you know, it's that's the big challenge, is understand what the risk is and to make sure that it's not going to happen, but mm-hmm. you still have the benefit of the 50% improvement. You just have to know how to handle or to deal with the higher risk.
And I also think important is also the willingness to actually try it out.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like pulling the trigger and saying, hey, okay, let's just do it and see if this what we were thinking about and maybe also calculating in efficiencies, whatever, is actually coming to fruition. And that's fair enough. But I also thought, I wanted to pull up real quick just a perfect example from your homepage that I think displays exactly what you were alluding to. I think that's a perfect example. Just want to share real quick a comment from the audience. Jose is asking, Rafael, what is your approach to sustainable warehousing? I think that's a good one.
Yeah. Well, Jose, what is a sustainable warehouse? When you look at the amount of, because a warehouse is designed to store material, to keep, because when people need it, you have access and then you deliver to your end customer. Mm-hmm. If you look at the actual amount that is stored on a warehouse, it's on a cubic space. you only have roughly 15% of the volume is used to store material. Everything else is aisles, is the distance from the top of your last shelf to the ceiling, the spaces between the material on each of the stages. So there is a lot of room for improvement from 15% to 100%. So the goal should be always to make your warehouse more dense. So you need less volume to store your product. You have to be smarter on all where do you place each of your material that you store. And also to only have the material that you need to have on your warehouse. So the denser is your warehouse, the more sustainable it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so instead of not only, you know, making it with a solar panels on the top, reducing water usage, but what else can you do to make it denser? You know, and I'm not even saying that the forklift is the best solution, but for each case, you have to try to every year to make it more efficient so that it's a journey to get to make it more sustainable.
I agree. I think the capacity utilization factor, if we can put it like this, is in all industries highly, highly important. I mean, for example, it's the same also when shipping containers. I mean, you want to put as much cargo as possible inside and not just, let's say, a floor layer and ship half mm-hmm. of the container empty, right? Because even by adding, let's say, just for example purposes here, you are able to ship twice the amount in one container or twice the amount of products in one container. Then per se, it makes it more sustainable simply because you utilize the whole box, the whole space. And I think the same holds true for the warehouses, what you were explaining, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And not only that is because there is one part of the container is you place on the ship. The ship goes to the port. So you want to optimize the route, you know, to make the ship always go full. But also after it's offloaded, you know, you put on the dock, you know, what happens after that? How long does it take to offload? How long does it take to take it to the end customer? It's the supply chain is long. It's from, you know, the origin to the user. Mm-hmm. So everything can be optimized. It's you have to be looking at everything at the same time, you know, all the time.
Absolutely. That's a very great point. And I also just found what I was looking for. The Combi CSS, I think it's a perfect example on that, because as you were mentioning on your homepage, wait, I'm going to pull this up real quick so the audience can see this one as well. And I think that's just a fantastic, really a phenomenal example on the efficiencies that are literally out there and just waiting to be gained, you know, at the end of the day. Oops, I hope this is working. Let's see, 1 second. Yeah, there we go. And just check this out, ladies and gentlemen, a special feature. It says a 6-minute loading time. And I know from personal experience with many of my clients, a lot of them are requesting 2-hour unloading days or unloading hours, excuse me. Some are out there even, hey, we need 3 hours, we need 4 hours. There are even companies that say, hey, we can't unload it in 1 day. Leave the container here for 1 day, 2 days, whatever, and then pick up the empty container. And I think this is the perfect example of what Rafael just alluded to. And to give you guys an understanding of how this is working, let me just play that clip here real quick. I hope that works. Yeah. and you can see by just by the preparation of this sledge, I would call it, it just saves each and everybody so much time. And I hope you guys can see this on the screen. I hope this works.
Yeah, this equipment is aligned with the trailer, and you can load up to 30 tons on top of it's a steel bed that is 12 meter long, and then by we're using hydraulic cylinders, it loads the complete load into the container, and then the same cylinders, you know, pull it out from the inside the container. So it's slightly less than 6 minutes to load and offload the trailer, the container. This case was a 20-foot, but it could be also a 40-foot container.
Uh-huh. I think now it is, yeah, here's the offloading part.
Yeah.
And that's, guys, that's really something you should check out. This is, to me, this is phenomenal. This is really phenomenal, especially for smaller companies. The efficiency, just with that single tool, would go through the roof.
Well, one thing is the efficiency, Christoph, but also is because then you can start planning. For example, let's say you have 3 or 4 cycles per hour. You can start creating a schedule to have the trailers coming in to either load or offload, because you know you can then time that your facility is capable of loading 30, 40 trailers a day. And then you can schedule people to come in, you know, come in with your empty container and you'll load it in 10 minutes. And then, you know, in 20 minutes time, the next one, and, you know, it becomes just a schedule.
And that's really amazing. And this is exactly what this is about. And John nailed it. He just wrote in the comments, wow. And that's exactly what I was thinking as well. And what I also love about the solution is the safety, because as you were seeing in this video, it's, you know, it's fully automated. You know, you don't need any people climbing up the goods, you know, and checking is everything working while being loaded. Everything is working fully remotely, literally. And talking from a safety point of view, in my opinion, that's really fantastic. That's really next level, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the other thing important, and it's good as an illustration. If you think that Combilift was created as a forklift company, a forklift has wheels and has a mast and, you know, a cabin for the driver. And this was created because customers started asking us to, how can you help us improve loading the container? Mm-hmm. You know, then this was created. It's using hydraulic cylinders. It's things that we know, because we are very good at welding, we are very good at hydraulics, you know, our mechanisms. So our engineers, they had to come up with a solution to make that sheet metal 12 meter long to go inside the container and outside. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was the challenge to our internal team. But the other thing is, we are used to working together with customers. We do a lot of interfacing. It's not that you say, for example, maybe, Christoph, you're my customer. Mm-hmm. You ask me for something, and then I come back in 3 months' time and say, Christoph, that's your solution. Mm-hmm. No, we work all the time, you know, 24 hour. No, so I had this idea. Just, oh, yeah, that's going to work. So your part, you become the inventor of the solution that you need.
I like that. I really like that. It's a fantastic approach. That's really so great.
And then, you know, it's some, it might be something for steel industry, it could be to plastics, or we'll always find a tweaking to make our equipment ready for your material. That's the idea.
That's really amazing. And John just shared an additional comment. He said, I know how difficult and time-consuming it is to load the same material with the forklift and strap. So boom, there we go. Already someone in the audience who can relate. John, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you, John. And the other thing, John, is when you have to do it by hand inside the container, every time is different. You know, whereas if you do outside, maybe you can make it a standard. So you learn and then you improve. And then probably in a year's time, you'll be doing much better than what you do today. And if you have a team going in, and, you know, it's not nice, you know, have to go inside the container. You know, it's not safe. It's not a good place to work. You know, it's the lighting is not as good. If it's a warm place, it's going to be even warmer inside the container. So if you can do it out in the open, and then just once it's complete, you load it. So there is a lot of room for improvement if you do it in a more methodically way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think there are so many industries that potentially could benefit just from one solution like this as a best practice, right? What we were talking earlier about, Rafael, because I know that depending on the product, but importing from Asia, oftentimes you don't have any pallets in there, but everything is stacked just with cardboard boxes from the floor all the way up to the top of the container. And of course, you cannot, you just cannot unload such a container within, I don't know, whether it's 1 hour, 2, 4, 5 hours. Oftentimes it takes at least one day for one or two people full time. So just such a simple tweak, as you mentioned, boom, you put in the floor, you basically grab all the goods, in my case that I'm now putting out as an example, all the cardboard boxes, bring it back right inside the warehouse. You have all the space you need. You could palletize them right away with the forklift. You don't have to, you know, to walk like 8, 10, 15, 20 meters, depending on the situation in your warehouse, to put everything again on pallets and afterwards in the racks, right? You could more or less do it right on the spot.
Yeah, correct. And the other thing is, imagine how much you save on container damage. You know, if you're always doing the same way, you know, it's clear, go in, go out, you know, it's, and you can film it. So if it's, well, who damaged the load? And then you have, when it was loaded, it was clear, clean, you know, not no damages. So it's a lot of things that you can do when you can do mechanization. You can do it the things in a safe and proper way. It's not only the actual loading, but it's all the whole process improves.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, and another point that just comes up in my head, also because I know that this happened not frequently, but now and then with clients, whether at their supplier's warehouse or at their own warehouse, right? Just imagine you have a little bit older container, you know, that is almost at its expiry date. And sometimes those wooden floors aren't just as strong anymore as they used to be, you know? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? This means if you're a forklift is too heavy, boom, all of a sudden it just breaks. Maybe, of course, not the whole container, but a little bit, you know, it drops down through the floor. You know, you already have a hole like this or like this, depending, of course, on the size of the forklift. Now, with your solution, you don't have this discussion anymore. It's done, you know? And right. That's really a smart idea. And I can only encourage the audience to take a look on your homepage to get an idea of what type of different products. I know you said you didn't have a fully or a fixed catalog, but just to get an idea of already or of best case solutions that you already, you know, put out there, literally put out there. Because I'm still convinced that there is a lot to gain, you know, a lot of synergy effects, a lot to learn, a lot to be implemented, you know, and that's, to me, that's really an amazing task. It really is. And I also love the commitment that you guys show on your designs that you're creating. What, of course, we were talking about the how can I say this? Like this design as your product, if I can put it like this. But let me ask you, what is CombiLift, you know, what drivers are there that are pushing you forward, you know, and keep you hungry, so to speak, to make logistics better and more efficient?
Well, there's one way is CombiLift is already in more than 90 countries in the world. Of course, the main markets are North America and Western Europe, mm-hmm. but we are all over. You know, there are people that are servicing pretty much every country in the world. We recently had a meeting in Ireland, and we were 25 people. And then I started because, you know, that was the first time we had met everyone on the same room. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was giving a brief introduction. And we said, well, and then I'm with CombiLift, for example, myself, I'm 14 years with CombiLift. And then people were saying how many years they were with the company. And then I started adding up, and that was 350 years of CombiLift. So 25 people, 350 years. And what I do every day is, you know, there is not a single day that I will not speak to someone saying, I'm looking for a solution to, you know, reduce my fleet. I'm looking for a solution because, you know, my production is growing. My portfolio is increasing. I need more space. And then that's what we do all the time. So it's 350 years answering those type of questions. So some are pretty much the same, but every once in a while, there's something different. You know, there's something that we call someone, you know, I have a counterpart in Slovenia. So I call him and say, have you done something like this? Because I think on your country, there is some industry that handles this type of product. Then we are exchanging experience because that's happening. You know, all the time, all around the world, that's happening. People are looking for a better way of doing something. You know, that's, of course, that's CombiLift is, and we are open. You know, when people ask, you know, it's, well, that's my answer. You're not, you don't have to. And we see, we provide free consultation. You don't have to buy my product, but at least I give you an idea. And then maybe that idea with some other idea you have, you find a third solution. You know, it's just the fact of exchanging information. That's a way to improve logistics, because very often people think that logistics is a new software, a new drone or RFID. It's part of the equation, mm-hmm. but that's only one side of the equation. The other side still has wheels, engine, cabin, a steering wheel. You know, it there'll be a time that it's going to be only robots, but even robots, we have to design them smart, because if not, we'll just make stupid robots that do everything that we do wrong.
Right.
We'll do wrong robotized way. Yeah. So
right.
We have to be smarter on how we move things around and where do we keep them. So I think that's our driver. Our driver is to understand how material is being handled, stored, you know, how it goes from one place to another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, I would say that's beyond artificial intelligence. You know, it's, that there is creativity. I don't think that robots are still as creative yet, as creative as we are, if we get the proper challenges. You know, it's that's what we do. We create, or we try to create good solutions every day.
Especially, and I think you and especially Compolift will win that match, because you're putting up 350 years of experience when all of you are in one room. So artificial intelligence really got to step up if they want to challenge you guys. No, but jokes aside, but I totally agree. And I think that's something that the pandemic, now I'm talking only about the logistics point of view, you know, of the pandemic. But throughout the pandemic, we've seen, you know, so many disruptions along the supply chains, whether it's due to port closures, congestions, lockdowns, you name it. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, I had the feeling that throughout this period of time, people really started to understand, maybe just a little bit, but they started to understand what you were saying, Rafael, that logistics is not just RFID chips. It's not just trucks. It's not just a container. It's much bigger. It's much bigger, and it's affecting each and everybody, you know. And yeah. And this is, in my opinion, this is also the true meaning of logistics, or the true grasp picture, however you want to put it. Just want to emphasize that it is way more, and it goes way deeper than yeah. the average Joe might think.
Yeah, well, logistics is having something coming from point A to point B at the right time, the right quantity, and the most efficient way. If just a small link on the whole chain breaks, the whole thing breaks.
Right.
You know, it could be the last, you know, the least important link, but you have to have all the links connected, you know. And I think that one thing that we realized, you know, during the pandemics is how long the supply chain is, and yeah. how many people have to get involved. And, you know, that's, I would say that myself, even being on logistics for 15 years, I probably didn't have the idea that I have today of how complex and how fragile mm-hmm. the supply chains are.
Right. Totally agree on that. Definitely. Yeah, you're making a very good point here, Rafael. Just a quick question from the audience that I want to pull up. John is asking, do you offer ceiling-mounted hoists?
No. What we offer are forklifts. They are designed to handle up to John US 50 feet high, 15 meter. We do have on the outside, we have overhead mobile cranes that can lift loads up. But if I probably guess right, we have solutions to handle many types of loads up to 2 tons to 10, 11 meter, 30 feet high. It depends, John. We'll probably have to talk and see what what's your load. That's where we start. You know, we have to know what is your load, you know, how heavy it is, how tall, how high you have to lift it. And then we start looking for a solution. And the other thing is, we are very honest. If we don't have a solution, we guide the customer to, someone else, because we are very good at what we do. And we don't risk, we don't like to waste our time, the customer's time, to finding a solution that we don't have.
Perfect. Perfect. Appreciate it. And John, thank you so much for your question, right? Because that's also part of the geologistic series. I'm bringing in experts here that are able to answer you right on your questions. And thank you so much again for asking this. Now, Rafael, as we are already approaching our one-hour time frame, time is flying. It's crazy. I could go on for hours on that. But nevertheless, with regards to the ever-changing environment of logistics, Rafael, what would be your outlook of future? Yeah, let's say maybe intralogistics, and also the involvement, or how do you envision the future development of your products? Also talking about sustainable fuels, etc.
Yeah, well, one thing is the world is getting rid of all the fossil fuels. So all equipment, will have to be electric, magnetic. We have to be smarter on how we power our products. Maybe some hybrid. Things are moving fast in that direction. In the past, people would only think a forklift is combustion, internal combustion engine. It's no longer, the world is getting rid of that. We see more and more automation, simple tasks, and very soon complex tasks will be done automated, or maybe human plus machine, working together, having a machine to be my, artificial arm to handle heavier loads. But I think that at heart, at the very core of this is we have so much to improve on to make smarter movements that we are not quite there, and probably that's the right thing is in one way is closer supply chains. It doesn't really make sense to move material from across the world, so things will have to become closer to a village type of less transportation, closer. We have to be smarter on what we really need. Maybe I think that our societies are they consume too much, that probably everyone, if we look around, we'll find things that we don't need, that we have, but we don't need. But also inside the warehouse, inside the factory, inside every business is how can you make it smarter? How can you handle less? How you have can you move less? How can you keep your inventory levels safe? And at the same time, minimum amount. So artificial intelligence then it will help predict, what is consumption. To me, that's, what goes on logistics, but it's a lot of interfacing. When you invite me, it's thank you again for having me here, but it's the opportunity to share experience and what people are doing, because maybe what we do, it can be transferred to other fields also to how can I say yes to my customer more often? Instead of saying I don't have it, I cannot, it will take too long, is just yeah, yes, I can help you. I have a solution. It's right here, or and tomorrow we'll find a solution for you. It's that should be the goal for every innovation business, to be, proactive, having the right solution, right time, very fast. So just having the opportunity to share this, which I believe in, it's a great opportunity.
Absolutely, totally agree. And just as a quick note, Jose, thanks for sharing. In case you're listening, or also later on you're listening on Spotify or on YouTube, and if you want to learn about more of the designs of CombiLift, check out the homepage www.combilift, everything written together, .com. go on and repeat that, www.combilift.com. Thank you, Jose. Appreciate it. This is really helpful. I absolutely agree, Rafael. I also think that the people on this planet, we also gotta be more interested and hungry in learning about best practices, because just the way I found you on LinkedIn based on that one video is exactly that. Because I do believe, and that's also part of the mission of Joy of Logistics, as I said in the intro, is setting a stage for out of the box solutions, approaches, people, companies, doesn't matter, because I believe that this is propelling the whole society forward at the end of the day. Because if you're only stuck in your tunnel, and maybe at one point you're thinking, hey, there must be some solution to that, but you can't find it on Google, for instance, you don't know what to look for, this is where I hope people are turning to and saying, oh wow, okay, I gotta listen to what these people are probably have never met, what they are talking about, the information, the experiences, the solutions, however you want to put it, what they are sharing. And then just maybe, you know, a little light bulb comes up and say, oh yeah, I'm having some similar thoughts, or I have a similar procedure. Oh, I've always been looking into this. That's exactly who I'm going to reach out to, because I believe that those folks can help. And John added, and that's a really good ad. Thank you so much, John. Logistical needs adapts to the needs and wants of our society and civilization. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. However, it does lag a little bit behind in time. They are not, or the logistics industry is on a broad scale, not as innovative as other, or not as quick, should I say? I think that's a better word. Not as quick as other areas or other industries. It just takes a little bit more time.
Yeah, well, it's hard to tell, you know. It's every area has its space to move. I think that logistics has reacted greatly to the challenges. Just probably the challenges were even greater than people would expect. But we've learned a lot over the past years. And I think that the first thing to understand is when you want to change is, there's something wrong. So I have to do it better. So that is better than say, no, I'm not going to change. No,
right.
People are, and you know, if someone is listening, you know, the people that are listening, they are looking for this. It's well, maybe I'll get like one or two ideas of these guys mentioned. So we are doing our contribution to
correct
to overall improvement. Yes,
correct. And that's all I can ask for. It's all I can ask for is if there's someone listening and is saying, hey, okay, I take this small idea or this light bulb, I take it with me. I'm going to think about more and maybe reach out to you, discuss it, whatever. Perfect. That's all I can ask for. That's my goal for the Joy of Logistics. That's also exactly why I'm bringing so many experts and so fantastic people like you. Thank you so much. On the show, because sharing is caring, and it really is. It really helps everybody. I'm a full believer on that. Okay. And yeah, Rafael, with that being said, we are close to the hour. Just want to take the time real quick. Want to say a big muito obrigado. Thank you for your time. Thank you for taking your time, and for sharing your ideas, your thoughts with us. And in case somebody is also listening afterwards and has a question or has an idea, how can they reach you best?
I would say the best way is LinkedIn. I have my homepage. I access it every day. It's Rafael or Rafael Kessler on LinkedIn. It's probably the best way, or people can contact me. My email on LinkedIn is on My email is very simple. It's Rafael, as it's written there, at comblift.com. So that's probably easy also.
Fantastic. Then I hope you get a lot of emails from the audience. And just want to say thank you again for your time and for being on the show. I highly appreciate it.
Glad to answer. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.